My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Here's Daniels on fourth down. Gonna launch it to the end zone. Neighbors hauls it in again. Malik Neighbors, my oh my. How about Jaden Daniels and this Tigers offense roaring?
Joe Tessitore of ESPN on the call. Jaden Daniels doing work at LSU in his final season en route to the number 2 overall pick. And now he's a Commander, and he was on the practice field today looking sharp as Washington kicked off training camp. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've got Creed tickets we're giving away in 1 hour ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondori & Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft a will, set up a trust, and create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. You can get a discount. KMLawyers.com. I watched Hard Knocks offseason New York Giants last night. Did you check it out?
Oh, I did.
Continues to amaze me. The access that we are getting. I promise you guys it's worth it. If you have not seen it, you should absolutely look into this. This, to me, has been arguably the best season on Hard Knocks since the beginning. Because we have not seen an off-season version. We've not had this access to the inner workings of an organization, frankly, probably in any major sport in history.
I mean, to this part of the process, right? This has never
right,
happened.
In terms of roster building and creation and off-season decisions, you're hearing trade discussions on the phone. You are seeing the behind-the-scenes meetings with draft picks. I mean, it is an all-access pass, really, that I can't believe the Giants in the league were willing to provide, but we are the beneficiaries. But I bring this up, Danny, because Saquon Barkley said he did not know his conversation with Joe Shane, the Giants' general manager, was recorded.
Mm.
What do you make of that?
I don't love that. I don't love that. That should be, you should be informed of that if you're being recorded. That's just my general feeling on stuff. You don't, who knows? Who knows what's what you might say that might hurt you or hurt someone else, or you know, if you're in a place where you're trying to be candid with somebody. I don't know. That always makes me queasy and uneasy. I don't like that.
I believe it is still a crime in some states to record conversations without people knowing it, phone or otherwise. To the point where I know, like, we used to have the lawyer person come in and tell us what we can and can't do in radio. And I know that we now can't do some of the old school fun bits that my uncle did on Pittsburgh radio 30 years ago, or the Junkies used to do 25 years ago, where they did a thing where they would, like, call the team hotel.
Bother the pro.
Where a player was staying, and it would ring, 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 and then I'm just going to make up a name, but like
Chris Webber.
Sure. Chris Webber answers the phone. He's like, hello. And they're like, hey, Chris, what's up? And they just start asking him questions and see if he'll stay on the phone. And they don't necessarily ever present who they are or what they're doing. Whereas now, if we were to just call someone live on the air, which we are not supposed to
You're
do.
You're not allowed to do that.
Not allowed to do that. But we just call someone right now. The first thing we have to say immediately is, hey, it's Grant Paulson and Danny Ruge. You are live on 106.7 The Fan. People can hear you right now. Like, it's just a legal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the rules are in New York. I'm sure with media, it's different anyway. Like, you can make the case that players are constantly being overheard on microphones in sports now, not knowing it. Like every time a quarterback is mic'd up and they have a quick conversation with a defensive tackle who just hit them or something, you don't know that you're on mic. You just think you're saying something. And I'm sure because of that, you have to live with a governor on where you know, okay, I'm in uniform. Anything I say, like us around a live microphone or whatever, like can and will be used against you kind of deal. But I, like you, think that's a really, really scary situation. If a lot of these calls with other GMs, agents, players, I'm thinking they all are aware, hey, we're taping Hard Knocks, just so you know. If I call you later today, you're going to be potentially used on the show.
You'd have thought. I mean, because it wouldn't be crazy for someone to say, like, listen, I'd like to come back, but I can't stand, and he names the running backs coach, for example. Like, that's damaging to everybody.
Well, I think if that were to happen, though, they'd edit that out.
Well, they wouldn't have put it in, but just in general, like, that sort of stuff being recorded, because that exists somewhere.
And maybe that's what the league would say to Saquon, or what HBO, or whoever would be at fault, would say to Saquon is, we didn't air anything that made you look bad. Now, Barkley might say, well, you aired the fact that I essentially told the Giants that I would let them have the last refusal, and then I didn't let them have the last refusal. But they're not in the business on Hard Knocks of making anybody look bad. And they're always going to protect you a little bit from that. But still, I mean, Elliot Wolf might have a different perspective, the GM of the Patriots, on what makes him look bad than you do. You know, Joe Shane, as an example, is getting beaten up. Brian Daboll was interviewing some of these players in his office yesterday, basically laying on his couch, and I'm going, this guy is a total goofball. Maybe he wishes that there wasn't a video out there of him laying on his couch mid-interview.
Now, yeah, with his feet up or whatever? Yeah.
I don't know. I saw that Saquon Barkley said that was news to me, that call was recorded, and I kind of got a weird feeling, like, that's not great.
Yeah, that's not awesome. One other thing I want to get to before we jump back. This I said this after the first episode. I think you might have been out. But I was just going, I'm amazed at how what I always perceived as these incredible high-level football conversations between these geniuses who live, breathe, eat, and sleep football has been demystified. It's even beyond that. It's to the point where they're looking at draft picks on like Pro Football Reference, the way that I would look at draft picks and go, what quarterbacks have hit in the first round over the last 10 years? Hit, miss, Bortles, miss, Zach Wilson, miss, this guy hit. Like, and this is how they're making a decision? Like, nobody mentioned like a raw athletic spark score or his completion percentage on pressure downs over expected or a sack to pressure percentage. Like, these are just dudes that happen to be employed making millions of dollars talking about football players the way you and your buddies talk about football players. I cannot get over that element of it. It's all I can think about.
This is what I was talking about the other day with Daboll when they were getting Brian Burns. I was just talking about this last week.
Yeah. How many sacks did he have?
Now, I don't know if that's a Brian Daboll thing, and he just isn't into advanced numbers and metrics and isn't paying that close of attention to some of the goings on there, or if every coach is like that, but you're right. It makes you feel like, my takeaway that I told you last week was, if this is what the Giants situation looks like, my God, what if there were cameras on Washington with Rivera and the Marty party? It would have felt like just a couple of dudes sitting in the 400s talking about who they're going to draft. Like, no wonder why they never hit on any first-round picks. Speaking of Rivera, we'll get into what he had to say about some of those misses to Adam Schefter. But the question for you guys is, what's your excitement for the start of camp compared to years past? And is our perception that it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of pizzazz resonating with you in your life, your fandom? Reggie's in D.C. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
And I know you guys are about to hit on this with Rivera. But for me, this is the most excited that I've actually been in probably over 30 years, because my team, my favorite team, Fun Bunch, and all, we go back to the heydays when they closed D.C., when we won Super Bowls. It feels like we are an adult organization. Y'all about to play a clip where the former head of our football operation pretty much is saying, yeah, never seen the guy play, so that's why we didn't take the guy we probably should have taken at number two, because really I didn't see this guy play. What are you talking about? So for me, the excitement, I'm like you, Grant. It's like we just feel like a bunch of adults. So now what's going to happen is, and it's going to be a process, But you figured maybe 3 years, you know, depending on how fast Jaden, if he does reach his potential, we're going to be like Detroit. Remember Detroit? They're laughing stock. We're going to bite kneecaps and all of that. Now look at him. A Super Bowl contender, and I would imagine when Campbell came in and they made all these moves that the fans in Detroit, again, was beating the laughing stock, and they're like, okay, we're getting excited. They won 7 games, 9 games, and then you could just feel I just feel like we just have a bunch of adults. Finally, I feel like my organization, my favorite team is grown. Now we're grown.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And it's still really hard to win.
Professionals is another word for it.
That's what it is, yeah.
But I can't fathom, having been a fan of this team for as long as a lot of people listening, myself, Danny, so many others that grew up in this thing, and not understanding now, looking back with hindsight having become wisdom, how unacceptable the structure and process was, and we knew this, but more importantly, looking back again, how they actually never had a chance. Like, we talked ourselves into it, and we could...
You had to pretend sometimes.
Kind of tilt your head and squint, yeah. And you'd be like, well, maybe, you know. There was a chance always that they could go on a run and get hot, and a magical carpet ride, and get to an NFC Championship game for a year or something. But you couldn't actually sustain anything. There was no path with that owner and the fake front office structure, and I don't just mean the Rivera stuff, but all the way back to when Snyder blew out Casterly as the executive of the year in 99 into 2000 when he took over. And it's all different now. That there is a real legitimate opportunity. It's the equivalent of, like, we were using horseback carriages to try to commute hundreds of miles. We'd be like, well, if we don't stop and if, you know, nothing happens, and we could maybe get there. And we have a car now. It's like, we could actually do it. We can now meet our deadline and get to the checkpoint in time. We now have, I don't know if we will. We might crash the car.
Sure.
The car could get a flat tire. There could be traffic. But before, in our carriage, we couldn't make it to California in a day. Now we've got an airplane. Hopefully everything goes well with the airplane, but it's now possible. It was not before. Wes in Orange. What's up, Wes?
Hey, Wes.
Hey, what's going on, Mike, guys? Hey, listen, just real quick, man, I've been a fan back when Joe Gibbs was coaching through the Super Bowls and this, that, and the other. And, you know, as we all know with Daniel Snyder, it was a nightmare. And I've always been a fan, but, you know, it got to the point to where, you know, I didn't even want to rush home to watch games. And then, you know, when the new ownership took over and I watched these guys and, you know, Whit Gibbs' interview and Quinn and then, you know, and Adam Peters and everything, it gave me some excitement. And, you know, and then everybody is talking about how, you know, they may not be all that good. Well, you know what? Maybe they not. But there's an excitement around. I know with me, and only thing I can say, guys, is the beast of the East is back. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to cause all kinds of hell on that field. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I mean, to me, this feels like that first return Gibbs year where they really were establishing something. They were under-talented. They had a couple guys that you really liked. You were going to feel it when you played them, right? The following week, you may not be your best self because you were going to get thumped around. They were going to struggle at times. They had kind of a lower ceiling than a lot of teams, but that was one of my favorite teams of this most recent era and iteration where you weren't going to be tougher than them. You might beat them, and most teams did. They were 6-10. But they were tough as nails, and it felt like something was starting. It felt like there was a real reason again to be optimistic, and that this was going somewhere. This is going somewhere. That's when you go, we're trading for Carson Wentz, everybody, the aristocrats. The instant that happened, I told everyone, no one wanted to hear it. This is a waste of time. This entire year is now a waste. Nothing is wasted now. This is real.
This offseason and this group and this front office, and I'll even give Quinn credit. I still think he and Rivera are very similar resumed guys. But the staff that they put together, it all makes me more mad about the last 4 years, honestly. I think we were on it. I'm not going to pat myself on the back. Some of us, not everyone, some of you guys got aware of the fact that you were in the Enron We Trust group. But a lot of us kind of saw that for what it was pretty quickly. Like, this is not legitimate. This is very much a fool's gold operation. Having said that, I'm more mad now looking back that it was years of it. I mean, it was just like unqualified people who hadn't done it, who showed their ass over and over again that they couldn't do it.
And it was presented as if the adults were in the room.
But that's the thing.
That's the, oh, Grant. Mm.
Stop telling me that it's better or that this is, No. I know what this is. Don't lie to me. But now you see it. And they may not win. And they may have to fire one guy and bring in another guy or fix this and trade. And who knows? Peters might not be what is advertised. But to have Peters and Newmark and Sosnan, you go through all the names, they've never done this. They've never had this. And it should actually make you more angry about all of the years
decades
that they never tried this.
Decades.
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Yeah, let's use the winning on the field and the off the field paradigm. In terms of winning on the field, I haven't been this excited. Danny just stole my thunder since Gibbs came back. But to be honest, it's so much better because I knew by then that Snyder was a joke. And when Joe came, there was a flirtation with Bobby Beckler, but there wasn't a real GM ever installed. Okay. So in terms of excitement about the team and year one and the coaching staff, et cetera, I haven't been this excited since, before Snyder. But in the last week, going to off the field, Mark Ein went on with Kevin Sheehan to talk about a number of things. Mark's a great guy. He's very honest. And his dual gut punch of, yeah, we're probably looking at 2030 at the earliest for new stadium, A. And then B, again, just sort of brushed aside the whole issue with the name. It's like that took some wind out of my sails for the first time with this ownership group. Maybe it's not a big deal to everybody else, but at this stage,
but to some it is, yeah.
Do you appreciate the candor at least, Kevin? And here's what I mean: I would rather them tell me what I don't want to hear than still wonder what the plan is.
Oh, okay. So yes, but let me say one more thing. I think there's a solution to this. It's been reported unofficially that many of the owners aren't happy with the name. Why not decouple the name decision from the stadium decision and at least just begin the process? Hey, we've hired these experts. We're going to make sure, is this name really an issue? And if not, what might be? In other words,
I've been saying this, and I appreciate the call. Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I hate to cut you off. Sorry. We're up against it here. But this has kind of been my point all along. They should be doing that. And then maybe they are. It sounds like they're not yet. But you don't have to say you're changing the name. I think you should just say, we're looking into seeing if the name is resonating. We're going to be doing our own research to see if Commanders is becoming more popular and growing with people. Is there a way forward? We are doing our due diligence. That's all you have to say.
Yeah, or if you don't have any consideration towards that, you need to say, we're not changing it. You see what I'm saying? Because like that's one day. That's one day you and me react, fans call in, and then we move on to something else. But the continuing of like sort of dangling the carrot and moving around where the carrot is, that's the part that leads the discussion.
I will continue to weave through some of your calls on your level of energy and excitement compared to the past going into this camp. But I do want to play a little of that Ron Rivera audio next.
Oh, buddy.
They were going to draft Jaden Daniels anyway, guys. And the whole Chase Young pick thing, even though everyone said they were going to take him, they should take him, everyone on the planet thought it was the right pick, it actually was a decision based on COVID being able to screw them and give them some bad luck. We'll get into that next on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, taking you up to 6:15 and Nats baseball tonight. Speaking of the Nationals, they have signed the 39th overall pick in the draft, catcher Caleb Lomavito, who played his college ball at Cal. He's a Hawaiian kid, was actually from the top high school for athletics in Hawaii. I interviewed him prior to the draft. He's a really, really sharp guy, called a bunch of his own games collegiately, kind of a nice leader, should move pretty quickly. And can swing it a bit. Good athlete who can run, not going to clog up the base paths. Nats are excited about him. So pick number 39 they got for Hunter Harvey. So they traded Hunter Harvey to the Royals, a non-closing reliever who'd been struggling and who was going to be...
Who they picked up off waivers.
A free agent after next season, probably a year and a half left in D.C. for the Royals' number two overall prospect at third base, and Caleb Lomavito, who becomes the top catching prospect in the Nats system. Not a bad little haul from
what
Mike
Rizzo. Win. What a win. Whatever that is. That's the – I went to a flea market or swap meet. I took a paperclip and turned it into a gold earring. Like, that's unreal.
Yeah. They – for all of the problems they had drafting and developing for the better part of 10 years, and they're pretty well documented on this show up until pretty much the last year where things have seemingly turned a corner for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Still not great results, I don't think, in developing hitters and seeing guys really take off, but they're certainly drafting more talented players with Brady House, Dylan Cruz coming quickly. James Wood was, for the most part, early on developed by the Padres, but you got to give credit for the year he's had at AAA before getting called up. They've always made exceptional trades, and Mike Rizzo's trade resume and record has to be right up there with any GM in history. In terms of the batting average on not only wins, but breathtakingly lopsided deals, like giving up Steven Souza and getting Ross and Turner, like giving up Caps and getting Ramos, like when they gave up Steve Lombardozzi and got Doug Fister, who was excellent in their rotation. The Soto deal, the latest of them. I mean, I could go on and on. There have been so many of them.
That's right.
But that has pretty much kept them afloat, honestly. Where would they be without so many massive wins? Turning a pitcher who would never make it in the big leagues, Alex Meyer, into Denard Span.
John Lester into Lane Thomas. I mean, the list is endless. It's the trash into treasure ones. Now, I think it was some truth serum. They would talk about this, I think, openly. They swung and missed a lot in that sort of decade where the windows open. Everyone that was any good that, you know, there are guys that are pitching out in the major leagues that they had to trade out of their system for, you know, whether it was a closer or another reliever or a different piece to kind of keep their window open. So some of those guys, you know, they would probably say we're judging them unfairly. I don't know that necessarily would be the case, but some of those guys that might've helped them ended up going to help someone else so they could find someone that helped them right now to keep that window open. But even still, the replenishment from the minor league stepping up to the majors has been lacking, and now all of a sudden you kind of look and you go, holy crap, A, the development's happening, but B, these, we're throwing a dart at the wall for 10 cents and turning it into $1,000. It's amazing.
We tease this. I want to pay this off. Ron Rivera was on Adam Schefter's podcast that he does this week. Rivera was talking about a charity event that he's doing out in California, which it sounds like is for a great cause, and by all accounts, and I mean, we saw this up close and personal and dealt with Ron, each of us individually in different capacities. Really, really good dude, still doing great work, and I admire that and want to commend him for that. But while on this podcast, Schefter was asking him some football things and questions about his time in Washington. A lot came out of that was just tough to hear.
Yeah.
And wanted to pass some of this along to you guys. So this was Schefter asking Rivera about Jaden Daniels and whether he had started to study him at all prior to being fired right after the season ended. So the idea being, were you already watching the tape on this guy just in case?
You mentioned Jaden Daniels. Had you studied him at all, knowing that you were going to have a high pick?
Yes. You know, at the end of, you know, during that part, you always start looking ahead and seeing things. So you start watching the quarterbacks and thinking, God, this kid's got it. He's got it. And because Cliff Kingsbury's there, I think that was a tremendous pick for him because that offense counts on the quarterback doing a lot and making things happen, in my opinion. And you saw some of the success he had in Arizona. The one thing, though, is that they've got to be able to protect him and protect him, you know, from injury, because the young man's going to play all out. And you don't want him to get hurt. You really don't, because I think he can be successful in this offense.
He was asked a follow-up question by Schefter. Had you seen enough to feel like maybe you were going to take him?
If you had stayed there in Washington and you had still been the coach and been an active part of the front office, do you think when the season ended that your organization was going in a Jaden Daniels direction, or was there another guy that you were looking at with that number two overall pick, Ron?
No, that was the quarterback. I really think that was the quarterback. I really do. He's just, you look at his ability to prolong the play, to extend the play. Look at his ability to throw the ball downfield and create. Look at his ability to run. I was very fortunate in Carolina. I had, you know, who I thought at the time was one of the best quarterbacks in Cam Newton. I really didn't mean that. And I think that at that time and moment, when you got that guy, you've got to make as much hay as you can. And unfortunately, you know, we got to the Super Bowl, but we didn't get a chance to get back. And that's unfortunate because, you know, when you have that special guy, and Cam really was special for us, you've got to, you know, do the best you can.
The Hogs could have saved a lot of money. They didn't need to fire Ron and hire Quinn and bring in all new coaches.
I knew it all along.
And a new front office. Rivera and the Martys had it all figured out. They were going to go get Jaden Daniels anyway.
He read the analytics of football. He knew what to do. Unbelievable. God. There's another clip in there that, you know, whether or not we have time for it or not, where one of the reasons he stated as to why maybe it didn't go well was they had a bad structure. Listening to him again, the just stick aside, the real answers that he was talking about is charity, the things that he was working on, overcoming cancer. So there's some really wonderful, great stuff in there where I'm going, good guy, I get why people gravitate towards him. But anytime it turned towards football, it just got real tough to listen to real quick. Like it went from, hey, that's awesome, I'm rooting for this dude, to, man, that's tough.
Well, when he was asked about taking Chase Young number two,
yeah.
What he should have said was, yeah, of course we were going to take Chase Young number two. Every single team would have taken Chase Young number two. We had a quarterback that was drafted in the first round the previous season that our owner still wanted to see and thought was good. And oh, by the way, he was this can't-miss generational talent that everybody thought was going to be a defensive player of the year type. And he had a really good rookie year and was the D-Roy. And then he got hurt, but he didn't say that. He talked about how because it was the COVID year, you know, they weren't able to do some of the same lead up to the draft that they normally do. Yep. And so that was basically made it hard for them, and maybe they would have been able to evaluate their team better. I don't know what that really meant.
Yeah, like there was no mini camp before the draft. So we couldn't possibly have figured out who was on the team.
The only thing I took out of that maybe was he was saying, if we were allowed to have the guys on the field throughout the offseason like normal, maybe we could have come to the realization sooner that Dwayne Haskins was not it. And then maybe we could have been able to convince, now he didn't say this, it's just me putting words in his mouth. Maybe we could have then convinced Dan Snyder pretty quickly, hey, this is not going to work. We got to go with the quarterback while we're picking two. Which seems like common sense that if you don't have a good quarterback,
yep,
and you're picking number two, you have to take a quarterback. But at the time, the logic was, for a lot of people, Dwayne Haskins needs a chance. Dwayne Haskins hasn't had his opportunity yet. Dwayne Haskins might be good. Not that these other guys might actually be better and that's all that matters. But here was a quote, Danny. Schefter asked him, so if you took a quarterback, who would you have taken? You won't believe who they were thinking about taking.
Who was his favorite guy at the time?
Justin Herbert.
What? Yeah. It was?
I think we felt pretty good about Justin Herbert as someone we liked looking at.
I don't believe you.
Rivera said during his appearance at the Adam Schefter podcast. You know, hindsight is easy because it is an opportunity to look back and say, we could have done that.
That is the nature of hindsight, yes.
And we really could have. But who knows?
But who could say who knows?
They liked Herbert, but they had to stick with the incumbent because of that mean owner.
Or something. Yeah, who knows? God, it just, the explanation of the minicamp part, again, is what I can't get over. Because it's not like they were robbed of minicamp and everyone else got it. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, well, they could do it in Philadelphia, but we didn't get the chance to have a mini camp. They could have done it in Green Bay, but we didn't get a chance to. No, everybody got shut down. Everyone's on the same playing field. And the idea that a guy that was out of football for a while didn't have a chance to kind of study up on the old roster and figure out maybe some ideas and moves when he first got there. Now, I understand, by the way, because at the end of 2019, Dwayne Haskins actually had a couple of decent outings. Not great, not like world-beating, but you go, oh, hey, this is something. There's a little bit of promise here. This is cool. Good for him. So I understand wanting to build that way. But the idea that we couldn't have identified anything because we didn't get two practices in March is, oh my God.
Here's some of the audio on that, again, from Schefter's podcast with Ron Rivera.
Let me go back to 2020 for a moment, because the Commanders had the second overall pick, and you mentioned the team would work on all the quarterbacks at that time, including Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. COVID happens. You wind up taking the safe pick, Chase Young, at number two. How do you look back at that draft and that selection at that time?
Well, the hard part is you we didn't have we didn't have the benefit of having the extra mini camp, the one that you could have had before training camp, to see exactly what we had and who we had. We didn't have an opportunity to really work on those things and see where we really truly stood. And so because of that, knowing what we knew, you know, and who we had, we decided to go with Chase. We really believe that Chase could make an impact, and he did. And the unfortunate part was he had suffered the knee injury a year later.
That's the part I would just double down on. If you're looking for an excuse, there is, hey, everyone would have taken that guy. He was a can't-miss player. Every analyst, every team was screaming we were going to take Chase Young. We just kind of did the consensus thing, and he ended up getting hurt. This was the Herbert part that we referenced.
Which of those quarterbacks, if you could go back on it, did you like at that time? Do you remember that?
I think we felt pretty good about Justin Herbert. It was somebody that we liked looking at. And hindsight is easy because it is an opportunity to look back and say, we could have done that. We could have. We really could have. But who knows? I mean, there's some guys that really stepped up and became guys.
You ever spend time thinking about what would have happened if you had taken Herbert there in 2020?
No. To be honest, no. Really haven't. The hard part is, more so than anything else, is you know, the season before they took a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that didn't materialize.
We got him more so than anything else there.
Yeah.
A Herbert, who in 4 years has thrown for 4,300 yards and 31 touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
4,700 yards and 25 touchdowns. And then at the down year, as his coach got fired and he only played 13 games last year, 3,100 yards, 20 touchdowns, 7 picks, is the guy they liked at quarterback. They were this close, man.
Yeah.
They're like the punt returner right after he gets tackled.
Oh, Brandon one Banks. More block.
We were this close. We could have done it.
Danny, have you ever thought about if they drafted Herbert? My answer is yes. Ron's was no. Mine's yes. I think about it all the time.
I think about it every hour of every day and a lot on Sundays during the fall.
Yeah.
Mostly on Sundays during the fall. But maybe that'll change now that the locals have Jaden Daniels. Our double plays next. What's going on in our lives? Remember, in 20 minutes at 4 o'clock, tickets to see Creed could be yours. You got to be listening to your pals, Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. We are Grant and Danny, and it is time for your double play driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Back in the day, GP, when I was a high school student, I remember it was a big deal. It's probably changed now in terms of the dynamics, but it was a big deal to get that first varsity letter, be able to wear your letter jacket around, right? At St. Albans School for Boys in Northwest Washington, D.C., you could wear your varsity letter jacket on game days if you were in season at that sport. Being able to do that was always kind of like a cool badge of honor, right? That was neat. If you got a student in Montgomery County Public Schools, they might be able to get themselves a varsity letter sooner than you think. Here's why. Montgomery County Public Schools is pleased to announce, this is from MontgomeryCountySchoolsMaryland.org, MCPS is pleased to announce the expansion of pickleball as a varsity sport during the fall 2024 season.
Oh, you're so excited.
I couldn't be more excited about this. Virginia, hurry the hell up. Let's go. Please catch up. Last fall, MCPS became the first school district in the country to offer pickleball as a varsity sport as part of the corollary sports program that provides increased access and participation and blah, blah, blah with the blah, blah, blah. Here's the point. 25 public schools in MoCo, pickleball is a varsity sport. Let's go. I see more and more young people out playing. They realize it's not just for retired seniors like golf is. This game has taken over the country. It is now a varsity sport in Montgomery County.
Is Montgomery County is like one of the richest counties in America?
It sure is, yeah.
So it's a rich person sport, kind of, right?
No, I would disagree with that.
No?
No.
Okay. I feel like it's a lot of people that are like retired with money and old that play it. Am I wrong about that?
I think you are, respectfully. Okay. I think that's probably how it started. It started as maybe a country club game, like a tennis or like a golf or whatever.
Yeah, Tennis is viewed as that way, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to play tennis at the club. Like, nobody plays casual tennis. Very few people do. Like, I say this all the time. If you go to a public court that is designed for tennis, you know what it's being used for right now? Pickleball. If you have two tennis courts at, like, I don't know, you could pick your little local area, like in the city or outside, that's now four pickleball courts. That's how people are using it. Like, it's everybody. Now, the initial barrier of entry, you can get a pretty cheap pickleball paddle that's fine. It's like a reinforced wiffle ball that doesn't cost that much. It is not what it is. Now, if you want to dedicate yourself to it and spend a bunch of money, you can buy a $300 paddle and do all sorts of fancy stuff, and that's just fine. But it's not what tennis is. That's not what golf is. There's a reason it's become so ubiquitous, is it's easy to pick up and hard to master.
I don't know anything about pickleball, really, so I'm just deferring to you. But I would say anecdotally, I don't really view it as a sport that, like, is going to be played in lower income areas.
I would, again,
push back.
Push back.
Okay, that could be true.
I don't think it has yet. I don't think it's
well,
spread everywhere.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, but the thing that I keep saying is the barrier for if you want like kids of all income levels to play golf, good luck with that. You need a big ass piece of ground,
it costs
holes,
so much money,
maintenance, etc. Now there are places you can do it, but there's not much will there, right? I would say for
if
a pickleball court. If you got a tennis ball court, you got it.
I said tennis ball.
But I know what you mean. Yeah. You got a tennis court, you got it.
Okay.
You can do it. Any place with a hard court, you could set it up. And I think it's becoming more accessible. And again, that's the reason why the numbers continue to skyrocket to
Who
such a high degree.
Who is the median pickleball player?
That's a hard question.
I would think it's like a retired 57-year-old dude who made a lot of money.
I think it was. I think now it's... Now I'm kind of right in the middle, I would say. There are young people
are
that play.
Are you the median pickleball player?
But maybe not statistically exactly, but yeah.
That'd be great.
Like the, you know, sort of modern, like not in atrocious shape, but not in good shape.
Are young people playing pickleball?
Yes, and that's the difference.
How? Like where? Does that question make sense?
It does.
Where do they play at?
So,
tennis courts, but...
Right.
Like you're playing in the middle of the day in the afternoon when they're at school. Are they going at night and playing pickleball on
yes.
lit courts?
All of it. So okay. you go to a YMCA, you go to like you know, one of these community centers, like any of these places that have hard court space, health clubs. Everybody has to like they're like tearing up tennis courts and basketball courts, and it's like okay, we got pickleball just to meet the demand.
You now have to have that.
You have to
on
have
your
it.
Menu, or people mm-hmm. aren't coming to your restaurant.
Yeah. So the courts I played a lot in Arlington, there are six tennis courts and a basketball court. The basketball court's then divided up into three pickleball courts. The tennis court, rather, it's three tennis courts, are six pickleball courts. It's never in use for tennis. It's only pickleball, and there's a wait to get on the court.
How many schools in Montgomery County?
25.
I think there's 25 head coaching openings, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Are you putting your name out there for anybody to reach out to you?
Now, there'd be a conflict, because it's usually after school, and I'd be doing this. But if the conflict was removed... You know, if they're like, your services, Mr. Rauhire, are no longer required, I'm going to throw in for a pickleball coach somewhere.
Hey, guy. Time for your boys. Double play. I'd like to go around the room here if it's okay with everybody.
All out.
Aaron Rodgers went to Egypt. That was his big trip. That's why he missed minicamp. He said it's not a real minicamp. Football's not hard anymore. Used to be a real minicamp. Football used to be hard. He wants to make football hard again. But he was in Egypt for an excursion that he had been planning for, he says, like years and years and years. He's been fascinated by Egypt for 30 years. It's where he always wanted to go. So he took a $50,000 fine to go to Egypt. Here's my question. You get to make one trip. Could be anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. You're going to go for a week, and you're going to have the time of your life. The trip that you've always wanted to take, or that you just think would be a lot of fun. You and a couple buddies, you're going somewhere, anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country. Danny, we start with you.
In the world, I've always wanted to go to Italy. Never have. Okay. I want to do like everything from like Renaissance art to like Capri and all the fancy beaches and different places, the Amalfi Coast.
You want to have one of the drinks that they pass out with the yellow straw you poke right in?
I want to eat pasta and bread. I want to gorge myself on pasta and bread, and I want different pastas in the different cities.
That'd be amazing.
That's what I want.
Ryan, you're going on a trip, another trip. Where are you headed?
Good bit. I was actually going to say Italy as well. But I'll even kind of go a little bit more off the beaten path. I'm going to go with Sicily. It is still Italy, but it's a specific location, a little island there. Sicilian pizza is the best pizza out there, in my opinion. So I want to get it directly from the source of Sicily. I think it's very cool. It's beachy vibes. It just looks very cool. A lot of mountains, too. It just looks very cool. So I'm going to go to Sicily.
Sicily, kids, is the soccer ball that Italy is kicking down at the bottom of that high heel down in the water. Daris, where are you headed?
I think I would go with Tokyo, Japan.
Look at that.
Yeah. Dude, that's number two on my list.
Yeah. I just think it'd be awesome to experience, you know, a different side of the world. You know,
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Ireland. Really want to go to Ireland. I think it'd be cool. Be fun. Always wanted to go. Looks awesome. Pictures look great. Heard nothing but good things. Ireland's high on my list.
Love that.
Italy would be up there as well. But yeah, we'll start with Ireland and we'll work our way from there. But Egypt was Aaron Rodgers' one seed. Even if it meant a $50,000 fine, he was going to go.
Well, it was the only time of the year he could go, right?
Yeah, he just scheduled it. It's like this one big trip. What are the 2 days that I have to be at work? Not a real mini camp, he says, anyway.
Mm.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are giving away tickets to see Creed at the top of the hour, and we are spinning you around town with a Beltway Blitz next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.